It's now Benis Marim. So instead of learning the next sugi, which is on Daf Lamed Gimel of Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom about Arava, we're not sure if we're all on the same sugi. So let's just choose a sugi here in the fourth parak in Lulav Arava. Very nice sugi. The Gemara talks about what's called Hukta L'mitzvah, so that if you designate an Esrog or any of the Dalad Minim, you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes if it's designated for the mitzvah. And the Gemara records an interesting machlokes. At what point does that Iser Mukta get removed? At what point is it uplifted, so to speak? There's one day that says that as soon as he's Yotze the mitzvah of Esrog, then that's it. It was only Mukta until he's Yotze. He was Mekayim his Chiyuv. And therefore that designation as a Chefshel Mitzvah completely terminates its paka, and he could use it for his own purposes. The other day it says, no, the Haktzah is on the entire day. His Migud is Katzah Ben Hashmash, Katzah L'Kul Yoma, and therefore the whole day is Mukta, even after he fulfilled his Chiyuv, it was designated for the Mitzvah during the entire course of the day. Of course, we're reminded of the issue that applies in many mitzvahs, and that is whether or not even after you fulfill a mitzvah, you could still continue with the mitzvah. Like, for example, the Netzivu says that you fulfilled your chiyuv of matzah when you ate the first kizayis, but you could continue and expand and extend your mitzvahs. The whole day, or in the case of matzah, the whole night is designated for the mitzvah. Perhaps there's a similar halacha in Esrog, where the haktzah is chal on the whole day. From the fact that Gemara uses the term mukta, it sounds, you know, and applies the principle of Beinash Mashal, so it would sound like a different halacha, that there's a halacha that the entire day is one entity as far as Kedushas Hayom is concerned. We can't split it up, and mukta reflects the Isur of the Kedushas Hayom, and therefore it's Katzoi L'Kula Yoma. And the Gemara later on in this same sugya is going to show us that the original machlokes, which is between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is also machlokas between Rav and Ravasi in the case of Hifrish Shiva Esrog and Shiva Sayomim. So he has one Esrog for each day. You know, he's a very finicky guy. And Rav says, Kol Achas V'Achas Yotzei B'Avioch Lo Lialter. In each case, on every day, he's Yotzei his mitzvah that day, and then he can eat the Esrog. Ravasi says on the other hand, Kol Achas V'Achas Yotzei B'Avioch Lo Mochar, he has to wait until the next day. And therefore this is the same machlokas that we saw earlier between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I want to call your attention to a three-line sugya that's right smack in the middle of this daf, and that's the sugya of Rab Zera. You'll see Omar Rab Zera, if you take the Tosas D'I Esramoy, you see that on the right side, you count down about five lines. The first word in the line is Li'ochla, and then it says Omar Rab Zera. Now let's just give a little bit of background. It's a fascinating sugya and has repercussions all over the place. And it touches on the very essence of what a kinyan is all about. Rab Zera wants to know, if I can be makneh my dalad minim on the first day of Yontif, of Sukkis, to a katan, and the katan will be kone the dalad minim, he makes a kinyan on it, even though a katan is a lot bar das, but Rashi points out, the Rabbanu made a takana that a gadol could be zoch on behalf of a katan, and we may see other Rishonim if we get a chance that kinyan of the katan is d'oraisa. So in any event, let's assume it's only the Rabbanu. Now the question is, if the gadol wants to get back to dalad minim and he wants to make a kinyan, once the katan has acquired ownership, the katan now has to be makne the dalad minim back to the gadol. And the question is, can he do so? Does the katan may have a power through das acheres makne to be kone something, it becomes his, but does he have the power to be makne, to give it back, and to transfer ownership, in this case, back to the gadol? So Rav Zera says the following, lo likni inshi hoshano liinuka biyomatava kama. Rav Zera says that on the first day of Yontif, a person should not be makne, a gadol should not be makne his hoshana to a katan, to a yenuka. Why? My taima? The yenuka mikne kani aknuye lo makne. although the katan can be kone, so you've given it to him as a gift, and now he, the katan, made a kinyan, but nevertheless, aknuye lo makni, he cannot be maknit back. V'yishtakach, and it turns out, the katan nafik b'lulav shein shalo. So the gadol will use a lulav that's not his, the Torah says, katan lachem, and he's not yotze. And we'll see that the Mishnah Berurah is very careful about this, to warn us that only after we, the gadolim, were yotze with dalbidim, only then should we give it over to the katan, but not the reverse order. Rashi says, Lo likni inish hoshana liyinuka b'matana ad shelo yotze bohu. So the gadol should not be machna his lulav, his hoshana to a katan as a gift until he, the gadol, has been yotze himself. Why? My taima. And the answer is because mikne kani, the child can be considered the owner of the object. The rabbanan tiknu leischil in afshe. So as far as the rabbanan are concerned, he made a kinyan. However, knuye lo makni, Rashi says, "Eini yochel lachzar ulak no soli aviv." He can't transfer ownership on the lulav back to his father in this case, or it could be any gadol. B'matana de la bardasu. He doesn't have the kinyan power. He has the kinyan power being zocha to be kona, but not to be makna. And if you look in the Rishonim here, the Ritva, the Ran, and others, they say that we're talking about a case of a katan shalohigia Leonas hapeutos. In other words, if the child is very young, below peutos, he's not old enough to understand what ownership is about. You give him something and he throws it out. So in such a case, since he's loigia leonas peutos, memkaron mecher b'metaltelin midrabonon. There, status, as far as kinyanim are concerned, based on a Mishnah and Gittin and Tess, is they only have a kinyan derabon. However, mishigia la'onazu, if let's say the katan already reached the age of pu'utos, shapir domi, in such a case, Rav Zeira has no problem. Why? Because then the katan could be makne the dalminim back to the gadol, the havi lachem do'oraisa, and therefore the gadol could be yotze do'oraisa. Now this is unbelievable because midoraisa katan is a labar das. So even if he was igil onas hapuutos, and if he has the capacity to be makna something back to a gadol in this case, that's only derabanan. If he's lo igil hapuutos, even midrabanan he cannot be, this is the way the Ritva is learning, even midrabanan he can't be makna back to the gadol, so obviously the gadol has no kinyan at all. But if he's igil onas hapuutos, he can be makna back to the gadol, albeit midrabanan, and that hakna midrabanan, because the rabbanan recognized that transition is valid, allows the gadol who receives and is kona the dalminim for the katan, who's igil hapuutos, to be yotze lachem midrabanan. That's the shita of the Ritva and the Ram. The Ramam, on the other hand, let's open up the Ramam. Perek Ches Milchus Lulav Halacha Yud says the Ramam, Ein Nosnin Oso LeKatan. The Ram doesn't differentiate what the level, what the age of the katan is. We should not give the Dalmina to the katan. Shakatan Kone V'eno Makne LaChirim Min HaTorah. The Ramam writes that the katan cannot transfer ownership according to Torah law. When the Rama adds these two words according to Torah law, he's implying that of course on a Darabona level he can be makna, because the Rama's talking about any katan, even a katan that reaches the age of pu'utos. So there was a takana that allows the katan to be makna, but that's only a kinyan Darabonon. V'eno makna l'achirim min ha'Torah, zok the Rama. V'nimta shemichziru lo eino chozer. That if he returns the lulav to the owner, to the gadol, to his father, let's say in that case, ain't no chozer. There's no kinyan that's effectuated on a Torah level. So it comes out according to the Rambam, as opposed to the Ritva, a katan who has akna midrabanan, that akna is only rabbinic. It will not be mahani. It would not be helpful as far as the mitzvah d'oraisa is concerned. And if you look at the Lecha Mishnah, he points this out. The Ritva and the Ran hold that the problem of Rav Zeira is the katan she'eino igil aputos. Once it's igil aputos, and the Rabbanan, he has the power to be Makne, then that effectuates a Kinyan Doraisa of Lachem, which allows the Gadol to be Mekayim his Mitzvah. But according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter what cotton, even if it's a cotton Shigila Putos, and even though he has Mirabonan the ability to be Makne Lululav back, but that's only a Kenyan Dirabonan, that's not going to help him on a Doraisa level to fill his biblical obligation of Lachem. Perhaps amongst all the Achronim that deal with Kinyonim, the most important figure is the Machne Ephraim. Machne Ephraim was a Sfaradi, Navon, and he lived a number of centuries ago. He is actually a brilliant Lamdin. You know, it's rare to find a Sfaradi who's so oriented in what's usually considered Achronisha Ashkenazic Lamdis. But in any event, in Kinyan Meshicha, which is an entire section of the Machne Ephraim, and if you look at Os Beis, he writes that according to the Rambam, a Kinyan Derabanan cannot help us for a Din Doraisa. If you need a Doraisa Kinyan, then a Kinyan Derabanan is only a Kinyan Derabanan. That's the Rambam Shita, for example. Let's say you own something Midrabanan, and you wanted to be Makadish and Isha with that object that you own Midrabanan. Would she be married on a Doraisa level? According to the Rambam, the answer is no. However, the Machne Ephraim points out that this is a subject of great controversy, and there are many Rishonim who would maintain that a Kinyan Derabanan is enough to effectuate a Din Doraisa. And therefore, if you take an object that is yours only with Rabbanan, you Mekadish and Isha, she's an Ashesis Midoraisa, according to those Rishonim. Now, since we have to take into consideration the Rambam Shita, Zoti Machne Ephraim, Lefi Zen Nira, you see the text. Many people will purchase an esrog for the purpose of the mitzvah, and they will buy it on credit. They'll only pay domim after yontif. And that makes sense because, you know, let's say dalet nidim are expensive. The buyer doesn't have that much cash. The seller is eager to make a deal. He trusts the buyer and he says, look, after Yontif, you know, when some of your resources will be replenished and you'll get your next paycheck, that's when you'll pay me up. So in the meantime, the buyer uses this esrog on Yontif on the first day for his mitzvah l'kachtem lachem, and yet he hasn't paid for it. Says the Machne Ephraim, lav ya'os avdin. They're not doing the right thing. Why? What the Machne Ephraim is referring to is the famous sheet of Rabbi Yochanan in Masechta Bav Metzia, that Vaitora Mos Konos, meaning when I make a Meshicha and I pick up the object that you're selling me and I haven't paid you for it, if it's Metaltal and I was not Kone, without Meshicha on a Doraisa level, because the Torah puts the emphasis, and the only way you can be coded these metaltid is through Mos, through Domim. You haven't paid the Mos, and therefore if you haven't paid yet, it's not yours. It's only yours from Rabbanan. The Rabbanan created this new entity called a Kinyan Meshicha. This is not the sheet of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds that Meshicha is coded metaltid in a Torah, and Kesev is not Kona Metaltim in a Torah. It happens to be, by the way, that amongst Rashi and Tosas, I mean, Tosas is spread out all of Shas, there seems to be a tendency, in this case, to Paschal like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan, and that, in fact, Meshicha is Kona Metaltim in a Torah. But let's assume, according to Machne Ephraim, that most poskim agree that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan and Dvar Torah Mos Kona. So you need Mos and not Meshicha. Meshicha is only Derabbanan. So now you bought the Dal Dminim, here's the problem, and you didn't pay for them. So you were Kona with Meshicha, that's only a Kinyan Derabbanan. Now, could this Kinyan Derabbanan engender a Lachem? Says the Machne Ephraim, based on the Rambam, V'anan be'inan Lachem, she'a Lachem Midoraisa. It's got to be yours on a Torah level. The Torah doesn't recognize the Kinyan Meshicha without Dom and without Mos. The Kach Nirami Divrei Rambam Zal. So based on this Rambam that we began with, the Rambam in the 8th Perek of Hilchos Lulav, who warns us not to engage in this kind of transaction where we give the cut on the Dalad Minim and he's Kona, but he can't be Machnit back, even though that Kinyan is Higil Putus is Drabonon, but nevertheless it doesn't engender a the Torah doesn't recognize that kinyan, and therefore he cannot be yotzei his din d'oraisa, his chiyuv of lachem. Same thing here, which is ma'isim chayom, that people buy the talmidim and they don't pay for it. And if they don't pay for it, at least if you paskel like Rabbi Yochanan, like most poskim do, you're stuck with the following conclusion, that your kinyan on the talmidim with mashiach is only derabbanan, and now you need lachem d'oraisa. So the Torah doesn't recognize your kinyan, because by Torah most konos, you haven't paid the most, and now you're in trouble. And this opinion that we see in the Machna Ephraim is quoted centuries later in the Mishnah Bura in Siman Tov Reish Nun Chesef Katan Yud. He writes, Nachal Lizar, it's the best way of doing it is Lefra'a Moz Kodem Achag. You should pay for the Moz Kodem Achag. Kedei Liknos Hamina Midaraisa. He says it could be that the moment that you take the Dalad Minim into your Rishus, you take it home, you don't take it straight to Shul, then you're Kona, even on the Deraisa level, Midin Chatzer. So the Mishnah Berurah gives you a number of options. You could be Kona with a Kinyan Mashicha, without Chatzer, without Mos, according to Reish Lakish. And according to those Rishonim who paskin like Reish Lakish, if you want to be Yotzei the Shita of most poskim like Rabbi Yochanan, then Dvar Torah most konos, then you better pay the most. But the third option is, and this would be okay even according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that when you bring the Dalad Minim to your Rishus, you have a Kinyan Chatzer. Again, a Kinyan Chatzer possibly operates even without Das. You don't have to have intention to be Kona with a Kinyan Chatzer. It's got to be a chatzer mishtameres. You may need even yada smuchala. He has to be in his chatzer. But in any event, if for some reason technically you're not kona with chatzer, then the best thing is to guarantee that you were kona with mos, and if you have a kinyan d'oraisa. But we want to ask two questions here. Halacha l'maaseh. These are very important questions. And these questions are codified by the Birchei Yosef, the Chidah, and they're brought down in Shari Tshuva in Siman Tav Reish Nun Ches. That was the same Siman that we quoted the Mishnah Brura. And that is that it's a minhag v'Yisrael that many people do not have funds and they can't buy their own set of Dalad Min. Again, to our ears, this sounds quite strange. But even today, you'll find situations in which there are communities in which there are X number, a limited number of sets of Dalad Minim, Yechidim, individuals, who are people of means in the Kahal, in the community, will buy the Dalad Minim. Most of the Tzibur will wait online in Shul, or even at the house of the person who owns the Dalad Minim, and the Kinyan will be effectuated for the purpose of the first day of Lachem through what's called a Maton Al Manas Lahatzir. What's a Maton Al Manas Lahatzir? I give you a gift. It's yours, but only on one condition, that you return it to me. I'm not willing to forego my Dalad Minim. You know, I'm one of the few people in the community, in the hundreds of families that live here, I'm one of the few families that has the, you know, that can boast of the fact that we own a Dalad Minim. I'm not going to give it up. I paid good money for it. And I will give it to you as a matana almanas lahasir. Now, the question is, if this is a prevalent minhag, there are those who say, which is the Shita the Rambam, that a kinyan d'rabbanan is not sufficient on a Torah level. Now, in the case of a matana, how are you kona? You gave it to me. I was kona with a kinyan hagbah. And Kinyan Akbar is not sufficient, according to Rabbi Yochanan, without Mos. I'm not paying you Mos. So if Metaltil require Mos Konos on a Daraisa level, then on a Daraisa level, it never was Kona. According to the Ritva, there's no problem. The Ritva is of the opinion that even the Katan is Machin Midak Dal Binim Midrabban, and that's enough to effectuate a Kinyan Doraisa for the Mitzvah Lachem. But according to the Rambam, there's no Kinyan Doraisa. The Torah doesn't recognize this Kinyan. Here, I didn't pay Mos, I got it as a gift. How is it possible that there's a Minig B'Yisrael, and no one cares about the Shita of the Rambam, and there are probably other Rishonim who agree with the Rambam, that in order to be Yotzi Lachem on Dal Binim the first day, you need a Kinyan Doraisa? That's question number one. Question number two is the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Mem Aleph, Amid Beis. The Gemara on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, if you turn to Mem Aleph Amid Beis, tells the following story. You'll see below the Mishnah, the Gemara, and if you jump down about six lines in the Gemara, Ma'aseh Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Shai Boim B'Sfina, V'lo Haya Lulav El Rabbi Gamliel. Only one of the Tanoim in this whole group had his own set of Dalmin that was very, very expensive. You know, we're talking about during the Roman period and the decrees and everything else. Shalacho B'Elef Zuz. He had purchased this set of Dalmini with Elef Zuz. Again, maybe it was during deflation, I don't know. But he bought it with Elef Zuz. So what did he do? Notlo Rabbi Gamliel v'yotzebo. Rabbi Gamliel was Yotze Eschiyuf. It was his set of Dalmini. V'nosno l'Rabbi Yeshua b'maton. He gave it to Rabbi Yeshua as a gift. And then it says in the Braisa, Notlo Rabbi Yeshua v'yotzebo. Rabbi Yeshua took it, and he was Yotze. And the Brisa continues that after he was Yotze, he gave it over to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who gave it as a gift to Rabbi Elazar, to the next time. It was a whole, you know, this whole chain. Till it got to Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Akiva gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel. Anyway, this is the Gemara of Matana Manas Lahachzir, here on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis. But the question is, again, how could this Kenyan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's only Dirabanan, because Minatori you need Mos Konos. Nobody paid Mos. Elef Zuz, who had Elef Zuz over here, except for Gamliel. And they Yotze with what? With a Kenyan Akbar made it Lachem? That's only a Kenyan Dirabanan. Now, keep in mind that these two questions that we're asking both focus on a case of Matana, specifically Matana Manas Lahachzir, and the assumption of these questions is that Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Aleph is not acceptable. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Aleph says that Rabbi Yochanan, whose famous shita of Dvar Torah Mos Konos, only applies to Mechira and does not apply to Matana or to Mitzia. In other words, when there is a transaction which I buy something, I purchase it, I pay you for it, so until I pay you, Rabbi Yochanan says, I haven't made a kinyan, at least on a Torah level. However, Matana or Mitzia, where I'm Zocha, I acquire ownership of something without giving money, so there is no exchange of money, no payment, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish that Mashicha or Hagbah is Kona Min HaTorah. If that be the case, then both our questions fall off, because as we said before, they both focus on the case of Matana. You know, the person in the community who owns the Dalet Binim is going to give his Dalet Binim as a Matana Mas Lahachzir to anyone who makes that request. But even though there's no Mos here, but in the case of Matana, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees to the Kinyan's Doraisa, so we're okay. And the Kasha is off. And then the same thing could be true about the story from Gamliel with the other Tanoim, that since it was a Matana, and Tosfos Shita is by Matani Rabbi Yochanan's Moda that Mashicha and Agvah Zakinya Daraisa, then this whole question goes off. However, we're not accepting Tosfos, because the Shita Mekubetzes in the Sugya of Rabbi Yochanan of Dvar Torah Mos Konos, which is on Mem Zayin Amid Beis, and you'll see that on your page, quotes many Rishonim, the Rabban, the Ritva, and others, who disagree with Tosfos, and they hold that there's no such thing as a Kinyan Min HaTorah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in Metaltalin through Mashicha or Hagbah. And therefore, if that be the case, we're going to have to figure out how in these cases of Matana, where there was no exchange of Mos, of Damim, is there a Kinyan which could be effectuated, which could be effective, I should say, Midoraisa. Now, according to the Machna Fayim, we're going to have to say that Rabbi Gamliel and Zkenim, who bought, well, I shouldn't say bought, but they acquired ownership on the Lulav, must have taken the Lulav into their Rishus and be Kona with a Kinyan Chatz. You remember that we saw in the Mishnah Berurah that if you're not paying for something, there still is a way of effectuating a Kinyan Doraisa that even the Rama would say you're okay, and that's through Kinyan Chatzar, when you take it into your domain, into your Rishus. So of course, you know, you have to ask me the following question. Rabbi Gamliel and his Kenim were in a boat. So how could it be that they took it into their Rishus? And the answer is Sachru Makom Bisvina, says the Machnefayim. Sachru Makom Bisvina means that they actually paid money, they put down a Shavapruta, to acquire Schirus, a rental in the Sfina. So it wasn't just that they paid the sailors, you know, for a ride, because otherwise they would be getting a free ride, but they actually paid for Schirus of a certain area in the Sfina. Each one had his berth, his own private chamber, which was his, according to the halacha of Schirus Kanya. And he could therefore use that makom, that reshus, as a kinyan chatzer, so he took the dalminim into that chatzer. Again, but that's not going to answer our first question about the case of someone who's waiting online in shul for a matana manas lahatzi, or he's waiting online at the house of the gvir who's giving him a matana manas lahatzi. He's not taking the dalminim into his reshus. So again, we can answer up the second kash of the Machnefayim about the Gemara on Daf Mem Alef Amid Beis by saying that Rav Gamliel's case was where each one of the Tanoim had acquired a portion and a schirus in the Sfina. But that's not going to help us for our minug, where we stand online waiting to make a kinyan akbah with a matana manas lahatzi on the dalad minim. And the Mishnah in Sukkah on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis, if we could just fast forward, we're really covering a lot of different sugyas, both all of which are in Masechta Sukkah, but in the fourth perek. So if you take a look at the Mishnah there, it says Yontif Yishchal Chag Shechalios B'Shabbos. If the first day of Yontif coincides with Shabbos, so it says in the Mishnah that this is back in the middle of Mishnah, Molichin Eslu Laveim Lahar Habayis. They used to take their lulavim to the Arabayis with them, and that they brought on Yontif. That they couldn't bring on Yontif because now it's Shabbos. They had to bring it before Shabbos. And where would they deposit it over the course of Yontif Shabbos? Achazonim Mekavlo Mehem. The sojourn also in Malgavi Itztabav as Kenim Meinichem Eshalem Belishka Melamdim also Lomar Kol Mishem Agiel Ulavi Liyado Harei Lo B'Matana. In other words, they were afraid that many people would come and they wouldn't identify which of the Dalad Minim specifically was theirs. So they had to request, they had to require that each lulav owner would make a declaration that whoever receives my lulav in his hands, it's a matana to him. And therefore, l'machar mashkimu, u'boim ha'chazonim, zorken osa lufneim, v'heim mechatfin, etc., etc. And it turns out that kol mishem agil lulav yadu, arei matana, means that there was no kinyan mos, clearly on Shabbos, there was no kinyan chatzer, because they came into the Mikdash, and yet they were yotzei. That's a pella, according to what we learned from the Machnefayim based on the Rambam, that without a kinyan mos, it's only a kinyan rabbanan, and that would not be effective for the Doraisa requirement of Lacham. Now, in the back of the Sefer of the Machnefayim, there's something called Hashmatos, and in Hashmatos, they often quote the son of the Machnefayim, who adds something to embellish and comment on what his father wrote in the Sefer Machnefayim. And here it's brought down in the name of the son of the Machnefayim the following. He says, Kol shen notlo betoch yado umechaven liknoso hakol modim shekonim en haTorah. The rayel edovashrei chotzer konim en haTorah v'alo chotzer mishum yadis raboy ayin bav metziyo daf yudam et beis. So the Machnefayim's son wants to justify our minog by saying that there's a halacha of notlo betoch yado. This is what's called a kinyan yad. There are many kinyanim where you don't actually take the object into your hands, but you rather make a kinyan of hagbah and so forth. Let's say, for example, you have an animal and you call the animal and the animal jumps or it goes onto a stand and so forth and so on. But it never actually enters into your hand. Once the object enters into your hand, that's a kinyan min haTorah according to everyone. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Mos, but medvar amurim, when you don't make a kinyan yad. But if you made a kinyan yad, Rabbi Yochanan's mode, that's a kinyan d'oraisa. How does he know such a thing?
The Gemara says in Bar Mitzia that Chatzer is not an independent kinyan unto itself, but rather it's a subcategory, it's a spin-off of a more profound category of kinyan, and that is the kinyan yad. That's called in the Lashon HaShas Chatzer Mishum Yadis Raboy. Now, he points out, the son of the Machna Ephraim, that his father does not agree with him, because his father was waiting for Mos, and therefore his father was not operating with the assumption that the kinyan that kicks in here when you wait online and you get your turn is a kinyan yad, which is mol d'oraisa. Now, let's take a look at Tosus in Ksubis on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, and Tosus writes that if you put something in someone else's hand for the purpose of kinyan, he's kona midoraisa. And it's not a kinyan akbah, but rather it's a kinyan yat. And from the fact that Tosus writes explicitly that it's a kinyan doraisa in Tosus in Ksubis, and we'll see this also, by the way, in Tosus in Bava Kama, and Tosus is talking about the sugya of ha-hofech es ha-golol, where he's chayev for nezikin because he picked up this golol, this piece of manure, he picked it up, says Tosus was kone b'toch yado, and therefore when he puts it down, he's considered to be the owner of the bar, even though Tosus says he wasn't magbiyed from the karka. He put it in his hand, but his hand was on the ground. So it would seem that we're talking about a chiv bar midoraisa because he made a kinyan on it midoraisa because it went into his yacht. And in a similar way, Rashi in Ksubas Baba Kama, although Rashi seems to assume Gohan ala karka v'lo yapiv mugru yakarka gibel tvachim lo kona, Rashi says that the only way he can make this kinyan is if he picks it up three tvachim from the karka. He would seem to assume that there is no kinyan yad midoraisa, that the kinyan here is operating mishum hakbah. So then we have machlokas here between Tosus in a number of places and Rashi in a number of places. Both Rashi and Tosus are consistent. Rashi maintains that there is no kinyan yad midoraisa. We're only talking about a kinyan hakbah, which is Durabbanan. And Tosus says, no, you could have a kinyan hakbah, which is less than Gibel Tfachim, which would not be effective as a kinyan hakbah, but yet it's effective as a kinyan yad, even on a Duraisa level. And Tosus, in his attack against Rashi, asks a question from Nesinas Get. When a man divorces his wife, the Torah says, V'nosan biyada, he delivers the get into her hands. And it doesn't matter where her hand is. The Torah doesn't specify that she has to lift up her hand off the ground or wherever it's sitting. It's on a table. And there's no kinyan akbah. So how does a woman make a kinyan? The assumption of Tosus is that when a person delivers a get to his wife, the maisa gerishin is affected because of two things that happen. Number one, she has the get in her hand. And number two, she makes a kinyan on her get. And from the fact that the Torah allows Menasa Biyada for her to make a kinyan on a get even without Hagbah, you prove that there's such a thing as a kinyan yad midoraisa. And that's what the Ben HaMechaber, in the case of the Machna Ephraim, is telling us, that with the Dalad Minim, we could be kona with a kinyan yad, and therefore the problem of all the Kilos Yisrael, even according to the Rambam Shita, that you need a kinyan doraisa is not a problem, because kinyan yad is doraisa. However, Rashi Shita is that we don't derive conclusions from get for kinyanim. In other words, according to Rashi, there's only one requirement to divorce your wife in a ma'isa geishin. You require v'nasan biyada, just an asina le'isha, even without a ma'isa kinyan. And Rashi in Gittin Daf Ayin Zayin says that a kinyan agav works in get, and that's a pella, because a kinyan agav, she doesn't have to get in her hand, so where's the v'nosan biyada? It must be that the kinyan itself is enough, without a nesina. So we're going to have to interpret that somehow kinyan agav is really considered a nesina. That through the kinyan agav, it's considered a nesina l'toch yada. And the one sugi that would certainly support Rashi, this is the famous ktsos in Simon Reish, that a woman doesn't have to make a kinyan on her get, is the halacha, I think it's daf chaf in Gittin, if we had a chance we'll look it up, that kasval isuri anah kosher, that if you write a get on an ola shel zayis of orla, and orla is asur ba'anah, which means that there's no kinyan to be machna arla because it's Isuri Anah, and yet nevertheless the get is kosher, even though it's written on Isuri Anah. So many achronim assume that according to Rashi Shita, all you need in get is nesina liyada, you don't need a kinyan, she doesn't have to make a kinyan. And perhaps the most profound proof to Rashi, leaving out Isuri Anah for a moment, is the sugyan gitna daf ayin ches, hazore get liisha b'shus harabim. He and she are standing in the public domain via get kar of law. He threw the get, but he came closer to her than him. Is mugureshes min haTorah, even though the get hasn't fallen within her dalet amos, so she certainly doesn't have any sort of a chatzer on it. It's yecholah lishmar. She can get the get, and it's accessible to her. It means that she doesn't need a kinyan. All she needs is the nesina. And that seems to be Rashi Sheet in many places. So if that be the case, if Rashi holds that you don't need Nesina, then Vinasan Biyada doesn't in any way indicate, it doesn't prove or establish a source for Kinyan Yad Midaraisa. According to Rashi, Vinasan Biyada is not a Kinyan Yad, but rather it's a Nesina Latof Yada. So therefore it would seem that for Rashi there's no source for a kinyan yad midarais. However, even though the pasuk of Vinasan biyada is not a source for kinyan yad according to Rashi, because get doesn't require a kinyan, nevertheless the sugya does seem to assume, if you learn Rashi carefully, that there is a kinyan yad midarais even without hagbah. In any event, this is a long discussion. And many achronim in Chaschinuch, the Devei Chaim, and others prove that a kinyan yad is doraisa, and that's the assumption of the son of the mechaber of the Machta Ephraim. And even in the case of kinyan kesef, which is certainly doraisa according to Rabbi Yochanan, nevertheless, how does the mocher who's buying and receiving payment, how does he make a kinyan on the kesef in order to clinch his kinyan? His haknah of metaltalin to the lokeach. L'chorav v'pashtus, his kinyan is because he takes the money into his hands and he's koneh the money b'kinyan yad. And if this kinyan essentially operates midaraisa once he takes something into his yad, L'chsam Sofer, one of his shoes, goes very far. He says that before Matan Torah, the kinyan that was chal was shlita mitziutit the chefet. So if in mitzius he has control of the object, that itself is the paradigm of a kinyan that existed kodem matan Torah. And Rav Shimon Shkup and other achronim say why is the control of the object considered a maisa kinyan? Because that's exactly what ownership is. Ownership means I control the object. No one can take it away from me. I can do with it what I want. I can throw it in the garbage if I like and destroy it. So it means that if I have control over it, it's mine. A davra avud mimenu mikol adam, the sugya, the beginning of Eilam Mitzias. If, let's say, for example, I lose an object at the bottom of the sea and it's not accessible, it's not possible to get it. In such a case, it becomes hefker. And call it kodem zocha. And you don't even need yeush. So if Shimon Shop says, you can't have bailus without control of something. If the object is not accessible, there's no way you can get a hold of it, then the whole essence of bailus, of ownership, is completely undermined. And therefore it makes sense that there's such a thing called a kinyan yad, because a kinyan yad means that you demonstrate that you have control over it. It's in your hands. What greater demonstration can you have than the fact that it's in your hands? If that be the case, then even if I don't find Vinasan Biyada as an explicit source for Kinyan Yad Min HaTorah, according to Rashi, because Vinasan Biyada in Get is not Kinyanim, it's just Nesina, nevertheless, we can derive from Svara that if a person grabs onto something, it's his Alpi Din. Again, assuming he has Das to be Koneh, it becomes his because he has control over the object. And that Svara was really the entire, you know, that exhausted the nature of Kinyonim before Matan Torah, according to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, by the way, is in a tshuva in Yoredei Siman Shin Yud, if you want to look it up. In any event, the Torah is mechadish various Maisei Kinyon, and the Rabbanu were mesaken other Maisei Kinyon that are symbolic and reflect and show Bailus, that it's mine, But all those chidushim of the Torah and the Rabbanan of other Maisei Kinyan besides Yad, that means that even though I don't have, in reality, I don't have control over the object, they nevertheless work for Kinyan, like Mashicha. For example, you have a boat, right? So what Kinyan you can make in a boat? You can't pick it up, it's too heavy. Or an animal. So you do a Kinyan Mashicha and you drag it. So he doesn't really have Shlita. He doesn't really have it in control. It's not Tachas Yada. Or for example, you have an animal where you call it, and she comes. That's called a Kinyan Mashicha. Well, you don't actually control the animal. It's not subdued under your dominion. And those are the chidushim that such maisim symbolize ownership. But the real McCoy, the original, let's call it, the original Kinyan is a Kinyan Yat. Because there's no other Kinyan that, to such a dramatic extent, reflects Shlitas HaAdam more than something that's in someone's hand and he has total control of it. And that's why Chatzer is Nisrabsa, is Mishum Yad, because Chatzer also is a kind of Shlita. It's in my possession, it's in my backyard, I can lock it up, I have fences, there's security. That itself is Shlita, that demonstrates Bailus. That's an extension of Yad. Now, if you'll ask me the following question, since Yad is operative according to this whole slew of Achronim, Midoraisa, so what do I need a Kinyan Agbah as a Takonis Chachamim? I was already Kona Midoraisa Mishum Yad. And the Achronim answer that they need the Takon of Agbah even if the object is not in his hands. For example, he does Agbah B'Kocho, or with a stick. You know, as we spoke before, he gets the elephant to climb onto these round things. You know, in all those cases, that's called Kocho. That's not in his Yad. And therefore, you need a Takona of Mashiach of Agbah Midrabanan. But the Kinyan Yad is a Kinyan Doraisa. No, but let's go back to the Machna Frayim. The Machna Frayim apparently refuses to accept this approach, and he requires that when you purchase and acquire ownership on the Dalad Mina, make sure to pay the money. Why not be Kona Mishum Yad? And even according to the Rambam Shita, you have here a Kinyan Doraisa. It could be, based on the Nesivus in Kuf Tzariches, that you cannot be Kona Mishum Yad unless the object is completely, the entire object, every part and parcel of the object is in your hands. The Nesivus claims that if part of the object is outside of your hands, it spills over to the sides, you didn't make a Kinyan. And the same thing applies in Chatzer. In Chatzer, you find that the Kinyan Chatzer is only operative, it's only effective, if the entire object is in your chatzer, if part of the object sits outside the chatzer on its tzadim, he's not kona. Although he may be kona midrabbanan mishum hagbah in certain cases, but he would need hagbah lemala migimel tfachim. In this case, the gedolei achronim are worried about the fact that if the get is not completely into her hands. In other words, she doesn't have the entire get in her hands, part of it's outside her hands, then she won't make a kinyan on the get. So this is all based on the Nesivus, who requires that the entire object, bimloo, be situated inside the hands. And if that be the case, if the Machna Frayim would accept, that's our promise here, the definition of Yad according to the Nesivus, then in the case of Talad Minim, clearly, he doesn't have them all in his yad. I mean, lulav would be the most profound. It's not kulo b'tof yado. And again, although the Nesivus doesn't have a source for it, the svara apparently is this equation, the analogy between chatzer and yad, that just like a chatzer, the entire object has to be in your chatzer, because chatzer is an extension of yad. So too in yad itself, you need the entire object to be in your hands. Again, it's very strange that you don't find in the poskim, the Rishonim, that in Venosam the other should be paid that the entire get should be in her hands. The Ramah in Evan Ezer Kuflamet Vav says that the minig is to fold up the get, apparently for this reason, but we don't find it in the poskim. And it's in the Ramah, but where is it? I mean, it should be in the Shas itself. So, you know, the Nesivus, in addition to his super commentary on Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, he wrote a commentary on the laws of Gittin, Masechta Gittin, that's called the Torah's Gittin. And if you look in Kuf Lamed Tes, he says that you should be makpid to make sure that the get is in your hand, and it's in her hand when you give it to her in its entirety. But again, the odd thing is that the Rishonim left it out. And the question is why? Now, if you assume that v'nasan biyada means just the nesina l'toch yad, that's one thing. But if you assume, like the Bali Atosfos, that nesina means hakna, then based on the nesivus, like, why didn't anybody mention that we have to fold up the get in such a way the entire get is in her hands? So again, aside from the fact that in Hilchas Gittin, the Nesivus is difficult insofar as we don't really find any source, any earliest source for this Kepeda to put the entire get into our hand. But the Mishnah in Sukkah that we discussed, the case of the Chazonim, when Shabbos coincided with the first day of Yontif Sukkos, and they brought their Lulavim, and they announced that anyone could be to make a kinyan on it, and that kinyan would be Mol Midoraisa, even according to the Rambam, even though it's only a kinyan to Rabbanan, unless you assume yad, meaning but the entire lulav is not in the hands of the person who picks it up. And al pi svara also, if the yisoda yisodos of kinyan yad doraisa is shlitas ha'adam alachef, so what difference make if it's part of it is in his yad or part of it is sticking out? You know, he could hold on to even the end of something, you know, and that would be enough for him to have shlita on it, to have control. He could pull it towards him. Also, if you take a look in Eved Ezer Simon Kuf Samach, based on the sugya of Hagbah in Kedushin Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis, in the case of an elephant, where the Gemara says that he's able to get the elephant to jump on these four kadim, these four kalim. There also, I mean, the elephant is not in his yad. You know, it's not kulo. It's not the kli could be considered as chatzer, but it's very difficult to understand or to assume that the entire elephant is on these four kadim without any part sticking out. So again, if we leave out the chiddush of the nesivus, we could possibly say that the kinyan on the elephant is because since he's standing on the kalev shel kona, then it's considered as if the kona has shlita on the animal. That's even though part of the animal is sticking out this way, it's sticking out that way, that doesn't undermine this kinyan of chatzah kinyan yad. If you have an object that's half in the chatzah and half out of the chatzah, so since the part of the object, the half of the object that's outside the chatzah, he doesn't have shlita on, therefore, he's not kona. I mean, again, you know, I don't know if he's not kona that half that's outside, he's not kona anything. But again, if the nesivus requires that the entire chayfetz be in his yad, otherwise there's no kinyan yad, how are we going to understand the case in kedushin of the elephant? Fine. But again, the Gedolei Achronim assume la halacha that we do have to worry about the absence of a kinyan here in the case of Dalad Minim, whether it's because of the Nesivus, that it's not Kula Biyodo, or for other reasons. The question is, what do we do with the Mesiris Lulav B'Makom Migdash when it's not Kula Biyodo, and the Minig Yisrael to be Kona without paying Dom? So, in order to make some progress on this issue, I would like to learn with you a different Machna Frayim. And the Machna Frayim poses a L'chora Stira between two Rambams. See, remember we started with the Rambam in Perek Ches Milchus Lulav, and the Rambam paskins that since the Katan cannot be Machna the Lulav back to the Gadol cannot be Yotze and Yotif Rishon because it's only a Kinyan the Rabbanon, which is not Mol Midoraisa. Frekti Machna Frayim, look at the Rambam in Perek Vav, Halacha Dalid, Mehilchas Me'ila. What's the case? The case is, we have a Kardom Shal Hegdesh, so we have a Kli that's owned by Hegdesh, what we call Kedushas Damu, and there's a Mashil and a Shoel. The Mashil takes this Kardom, which he was Magdish, and he's mashalid, he gives she'ela, you know, the shoal is one of the four categories of shomrim, over to, let's call him Shimon. And the question is there me'ilah here in this case? Because the halach of me'ilah is such that if someone uses the object for his personal purposes, then the hegdesh is yotza l'chulut. That's the power of me'ilah. When you steal something from hegdesh, it loses its status of hegdesh. So the Rambam paskins, ha'mashil kardom shel hegdesh, mal, v'chavero mutal v'akeya bo l'chatchila. In other words, that there is me'ilah here. Me'ilah means that there's a kinyan gzela, the mashil, by taking the kadam shel hegdesh and lending it to his friend Shimon, has transferred ownership to Shimon. And that transfer of ownership is called me'ilah. We would call it gzela. Now, the question is, by what kinyan does the shoel acquire ownership on this kardom, such that now me'ilah is in effect? Which means, by the way, that's the paradox of it, that the shoel is allowed to use the kardom, this axe to cut down his wood. And why he's allowed to do so? Because the me'ilah takes the status of hegdesh and completely uproots it. But again, the me'ilah requires a kinyan. Where is the kinyan here? And the answer is Meshicha B'Shomrim, because the Shomer, in this case the Shoel, made a Meshicha. Right? He took the Kardum and he dragged it. And Kinyone Meshicha is a Takonas Chachamim. A Takonas Chachamim in which the Chachamim instituted a new Kinyon that's not valid Midoraisa. Now the law of Meshicha, of Hegdesh, the Iser Hegdesh, is a Doraisa law. We're not talking Drabbanan. So if you're going to tell me the Shoel, insofar as Me'ilah actually transpired, is allowed to use this Kardum, you're going to have to postulate that there was a Kinyan Doraisa here. But yet, at the end of the day, the Kinyan here was only Drabbanan. When the Shoel takes the object into his Rishus, and he does what's called a Meshicha, that's called a Takonas Chachamim. He wasn't Kone on a Doraisa level. So where's the me'ilah here, d'oraisa, that could lift the isur as far as the ishtamshus of the shoel? That's the question of the machnefrayim. And the machnefrayim answers the following, and this really is a radical breakthrough. He says that with regard to me'ilah, hotzah mir shus l'shus, even through a kinyan d'rabbanan, is itself sufficient to effectuate me'ilah. In other words, all we have to do in me'ilah is take the object out of the reshus of hegdesh. When the shomer drags the object, he pulls the object in order to take it into his reshus, he has removed the reshus of hegdesh, removed the object from the reshus of hegdesh, and that itself is me'ilah on a doraisa level. Now what's this all about? So if you look in an article by Rav Ozer on this topic on page 5, he has the following distinction. Again, it's a very difficult one, very, shall I say, conceptual and theoretical, but we'll try the best we can. Very abstract, I would call it. He says the following. What is the deeper meaning of this machnafrei? He says there are two categories of bailus of ownership. And we're going to have to see with regard to lulav lachem, what kind of bailus do you need? Is it A or B? There's something called bailus be'etzem, and something called bailus befal. Bailus be'etzem means that the Torah has certain requirements as to what kinyan works, and what's effective, to recognize bailus, to make it lachem. And if there's only a kinyan derabbanan, according to the Rambam, be'etzem, it's not yours. It's not yours because the Torah doesn't recognize that as a kinyan be'etzem. So on a purely legalistic level, in terms of the abstract definition of a kinyan derabbanan does not fulfill the requirements of a kinyan shel Torah, and it's not yours, as far as bailus be'etzem. But there's another kind of bailus, that's called bailus befal. Befall here means in actuality, in the reality of things. Not in the legal abstract definition, but in the down-to-earth hardcore reality. And even though it's not a kinyan be'etzem, nevertheless, there's a certain element of a kinyan befall in a kinyan drabbanon of yitzias hadavar mershus habaylim lershus acheres. In other words, as far as me'il is concerned, what we need is to be motzi, to take something out of the shus of hegdesh befall. We don't need that the Moel, the one who took it out and embezzled it from Hegdesh, actually made a full-fledged kinyan that could be considered his, it's lachem. All he needs is to take it out of the Rishus of Hegdesh to effectuate some sort of Yitzias Hadover Mirshus Lushus Acheres. That's called a kinyan befall. And for that, even a kinyan derabbanon is considered a Hotzah Mirshus Habaylim, even on a Doraisa level, because the Torah says, listen to the Chachamim, they have authority. If they claim that Mashiach works for a kinyan, then at least as far as the way we have to treat this lamaisa, even though on a theoretical level it's not a kinyan, nevertheless, the chefetz has gone from one rishus to the other. That's called a kinyan befall. And the Torah recognizes the kinyan befall that was effectuated by a kinyan derabbanan. When we're dealing with Bailus Be'etzem, then we say that according to Torah law, there's no change of ownership here. And therefore, in Lulav, we need Lachem Be'etzem. And that's why the Rambam is saying that in the case of a Kinyan of a Katan, who cannot be Machnit Midoraisa back to the Gadol, then there's no Lachem here for the Gadol. That's because you need a Kinyan Be'etzem. But as far as Me'ila is concerned, there's a Chiddush here that you don't need a Kinyan Be'etzem, you need Hotzah Mirshus Hegdesh. And if this be the case, then perhaps could suggest that even according to the Rambam, Hagbah, although it's a Kinyan Durabonim, because Min HaTorah we pass like Rabbi Yochanan Mo's Konos, would be effective to make a Kinyan on the Dalad Minim to be Yotzi Yedechov Doraisa, which is the Minig that we said is B'chol HaDoros. And we saw it also in the Maisa of Rabbi Gamliel and his Canaan. And the answer is that since in the case of Hagbah, the Kone has what we called earlier Shlita, he has control, that's enough to make it leave one Rishus and enter into the other Rishus. The Mashiach itself is meaningful. Let's take a step backwards. The problem of the Rambam is the case of a Kut. And the Kohen is trying to be makne the Dalad Minim to a Gadol. There, the Chisaron is in the very essence of the Kinyan, the Chalos Kinyan. On a Deraisa level, the Kohen doesn't have the ability to effectuate a Kinyan. However, if I'm being Kona as a Gadol from you, because I'm waiting online for my turn, or the case of Gamliel and his Kenim, there, the issue is not the Chalos Kinyan Midaraisa. There could be a Chalos Kinyan Deraisa insofar as the Havaris Rishus is effectuated by the Kinyan Befal, the Mitzias of Shlita, the fact that through Mashicha, the Kona now has control over the object, he dominates the object. The problem is that the Torah doesn't recognize that particular form of Kinyan of Mashicha. And here you could say that when the Rambam says that a Kinyan Drabbanan is not Moil, he's talking about when the essence of the Kinyan is not Shayach Midaraisa, namely the case of a Katan who's completely Mufka from Kinyanim, but the Rambam would admit that if the specific form or the Tzura, the Tekes of the Kinyan, is something that the Drabbanan created, then the Kinyan that's effectuated by that Tekes, even though it's Drabbanan, is Moil Midaraisa. Because at the end of the day, what you have here is a case of Shlita. And perhaps we could say that this is related to the sugya of Simtuta. Excuse me. What I'm referring to is the Gemara Bab Metzia Daf Ayin Dalid Omen Aleph Situmsa or Situmta. In Situmta, we're talking about a handshake or some sort of horaz bailus, and that's kona midaraisa, because the kinyan is demonstrative of a gemiras das. And one could say, therefore, that in the case of Mashicha, that kinyan, although it's a takanas chachamim, nevertheless it's operative and effective with the raisa. It's not inferior to situmsa because it demonstrates the gemiras das. And how so? Because through this meshicha, the kone is moshech. He takes it into his rishus. He effectively has shlita on the object. And if the chalos kinyan is doraisa, even though the maisa kinyan is only derabana, after all, in the case of situmta, the whole essence of this ceremony is only derabana. There's no doraisa, and yet it's effective doraisa because it's horas bailus. It's an action that clinches and demonstrates or objectifies gemiras das hamakne, gemiras das hakone. But in the case of a katan who doesn't have das makne, that's where the Rambam is worried about a chalos kinyan d'oraisa. There's no chalos kinyan d'oraisa since the katan doesn't have the ability, the das, to be makna. So in order to understand what we're saying, we're pointing out that there are two different types of chisronos, of deficiencies in kinyanim on a d'oraisa level. One is a kinyan be'etzem, and the other is a kinyan b'fa'al. The kinyan b'fa'al means the demonstration of gemiras das is lacking, but it could be that when the Rambam is bothered by a kinyan d'rabbanan to effectuate lachem d'oraisa, he's bothered because the etzem kinyan is impossible. There's no possibility of gemiras das on the part of a katan, and the Torah would never recognize the katan's kinyan. Masha ein kein, when the chisaron on a Torah level of the kinyan is because of the Maisa Kinyan, because of the Tekes, because of which actions did the Torah specify and legalize or legislate as far as objective actions that indicate Kamiris Das, that indicate that the Kona has now made his acquisition of the object. In this case, the Torah would recognize any action which in a particular time or society clinches and objectifies the Gemiras Das, as long as you have a Bar Das. So the Rambam would admit that if you had a Kinyan, which was the Rabbanon, it could be effective Midoraisa, insofar as that Kinyan, once it was codified, established by the Rabbanon, will demonstrate the Gemiras Das, and the fact that the Kona has now taken something into his Rishus, and that's the Kinyan Befall category. And therefore, if I'm waiting online for a lulav, or if Yekiva is waiting for his turn for a Gamliel's lulav, and he makes a kinyan meshicha or a kinyan akbah, then that would be sufficient, even on a deraisa level, to effectuate a kinyan, a chalos kinyan of lachem, to be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav, because the chisaron here is not in the etzem akinyan, but rather in the pe'ulas akinyan. And since we have a kinyan derabbanan called meshicha, that kinyan meshicha derabbanan will objectify the Gemiras Das and the taking of the object on the part of the Kona into his Rishus. That's something that even the Torah recognized that as a Chalos Shem Kinyan Do'orais. So that would justify our minog of waiting online to get our chance to make a Kinyan Akbah on the Dalad Minim to be Yotzi the Mitzvah of Lekachim Lechem B'Yom HaRishon. And that would answer the question also from the Mishnah about the Beis HaMikdash and the Braisa, about Rav Gamliel and the other Tanoim. All right, we'll stop.